the prayer. Will you please stand?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mike?
Our God, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us, and we thank you for your gift of life in this day. We ask that you watch after us and guide us as we do the work of those for whom we work. We ask that you bless our community, keep our people in good, safe hands of your love. We ask also that you forgive us, and that you ask and help us to forgive others and give us your wisdom and guidance in that. God, we thank you for the blessings of freedom, and we ask that you give special protection to those who defend it on our behalf. Keep them safe, and we pray for peace. In your Son's name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. This morning we have a public hearing and also an executive session. We'll begin with the communications.
First would be the travel and training, approved lease. Deputy clerk, canceled sidewalk performance bond for Village of Providence 1. Hire temporary employee environmental services for planning with transfers and appropriations. Accept amended certificate of estimated resources. Accept creation of 6 new county funds. Approve contract with Children's Service Board through Job and Family Services. Approve Amendment 1 for agreement with Jeff Pullman Tire and Auto Sales. Also approve various child daycare contracts. Under miscellaneous, appoint John Moser to TID, John Holcomb Jr. to Alcohol and Drug Addiction Service Board, and approve outside legal counsel for workers' comp claim.
Do we have minutes? Do we have minutes? Approve of minutes?
Yes, and approve minutes from the last meeting.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes,
about
sir.
Is Donnie?
He's your other one. Oh, we could do him today too if you guys are ready.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
I'd like to amend the TID.
Both of our appointments, right?
Yep. I'd like to amend the TID resolution to actually say for John Moser and Donald Dixon.
Second. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Great, thank you.
It is now past 9:30, and we'll have the public hearing on University Drive vacation. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak in favor of this vacation? Yes, if you'll just come forward and state your name and address.
My name is Bob Herrick. I'm with the Health Alliance. Our address is 3200 Burnett Avenue, Cincinnati, 45229.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us. This morning, I'm here with a small team of folks. I don't know if you have questions, perhaps there are individuals that can answer some of them as we go. But with me is Carol King, who is the Senior Vice President and the new executive who will be in charge of the new hospital. Marty Dunn, who's with Baker and Hostetler, attorney representing us on this project. And Ralph Terbruggen from Wolpert, serving as the civil engineering, et cetera, on the project. First of all, I'd like to start out with a thank you to a number of folks who have helped guide this project since we began it, well, about a year ago now. Tim Williams, of course, the county engineer's office, the planning and zoning folks, and the folks of Westchester have really helped us develop this project. So we really thank them for allowing us to keep it on track. Today, what we're here to talk about is one aspect of the project that for us to be able to build the kind of community hospital that we need and we think the community needs here and to be able to expand it over time, we've requested that a section of University Drive be vacated so that we can put the hospital actually about the core of it will sit right about on top of that section of University Drive. And also ask for a vacation of an easement around the retention basin because to put the hospital in the position needs to be and then to put in a new section of roadway that's been recommended that we do that would connect to the property line near about where the Home Depot is property is that an eventual plan could be developed to take that roadway all the way out to Tylersville that would reduce some of the traffic that would come out of the Home Depot site, it could dump out onto Cox Road. So we've been trying to accommodate that process as we've gone along. So in this very complicated set of affairs here, if we were able to have the section of road vacated and were to put in the new section of roadway, we would have to move the retention basin as well. So that's essentially what this is all about. There, if you were able to view the university campus there, the section University Drive kind of swings out and comes back in. It's basically cutting off that curve and then having the road basically go like this in the future.
We do have maps.
Oh, you do have it. I'm sorry. I wasn't sure exactly what you had. But in a nutshell, that's really what we're about. Ralph Terbergen can talk about the details of square footage and those if you have technical questions. If you want to know more about the services in the hospital, Carol can talk about those. And Marty certainly can talk about any legal aspects. And also just wanted to let you know that we did meet with Roger Gates, and we met with Brenda Wiener, who is the bond counsel for the I think the TIF funds that went into the roadway, to work out an agreement in terms of the new roadway section and how that would all come about in the future.
Thank you. Commissioner, have any questions?
I do. Would these changes, who would pay for the cost of all the changes?
The Health Alliance would be
the Health Alliance, so that wouldn't come out of the TIF. Mm-mm.
What we would do would pay for the new roadway section and the new roundabout, and what we've allowed for, and Ralph could probably detail this much better than I can, sufficient right-of-way for the future roadway connection. However it went through, there would be sufficient ability to have it go multiple ways, but the Health Alliance would, given the vacation, would pay for that roadway and the new retention basin put in. And the retention basin, I believe, would be owned by the association there at the University Point campus.
So the portion that would go to Tylersville would be paid for by the Health Alliance?
The Health Alliance would take it to the property line, and that what we didn't know, and we don't know yet, rather, is what the future plan for connecting it from the property line out to Tylersville is, and I think that has somewhat to do with what's the future state of Home Depot, what happens with that property. There's like a farm that's there next door, how that ultimately gets developed. So that's uncertain, but we would certainly connect it up to where our property line would be.
Is that the Dudley Farm?
The Dudley Farm, that's correct.
And has our engineer, Mr. Wilkins, looked at these plans at all?
Yes. We've had an ongoing series of meetings with lots of folks, the planning folks from Westchester and the county, a lot of folks from the county engineer's office, traffic engineer, the fire chief has been involved.
So they're all on board.
Oh, yeah, and we've been meeting all along. And actually, they've been guiding how the right-of-way and et cetera goes. Yeah.
One question. This wouldn't give cause to having a signal at the University Drive in that road?
Out on Tylersville?
Well, I'm not.
I don't believe so.
I'm talking about the loop in University Drive right at that intersection where that road goes out.
No.
But you don't foresee.
No.
Because all you're going to have, this won't be there, so it was just a straight in shot.
Yeah.
I think there is a light.
There are two there now.
Yeah.
I can't. It's one University Court, I believe, and the other one I can't remember what it is.
That's it now. That's what you're
going to be. I understand.
Okay.
I'm just curious about when you get all this stuff laid out the way you're currently thinking. Do we have any sense of how many new jobs will be generated in that area?
There will be, when the hospital opens, I believe it's about 650 FTEs, I believe. It'll be more actual people employed than that, but that's full-time equivalents. And when the hospital's fully ramped up, it would be 800 or 825. And then when we expanded it in the future up to 300 beds, the hospital's built to go up to 300. I can't tell you exactly, but probably about 1,300 FTEs.
Here's another question, and this is a trustee. Ultimately, they would control the policy decision on the question I'm about to ask. But how do you view the Liberty Interchange, the proposed Liberty Interchange, a new off ramp, if at the end of 129,
right,
and
Cox Road,
Hamilton Mason, and okay. then Cox, and mm-hmm. all that. Is that something that you view that's advantageous to your project, or?
I would say probably yes, from two perspectives. One, in terms of how much traffic is on Tylersville Road, and it allows more on Cox and et cetera, and it allows better flow from north and south. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, those kinds of improvements can only be a benefit.
The other piece is, do you view this facility someday as being one of the, in the Cleveland Clinic, for example, is like a destination healthcare mm-hmm. facility. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it serves our area, but the level of services that you're going to be offering there, the quality and type, is it something that at some point would
rival that? Probably not. I mean, we're viewing this as a community hospital. And the way we have figured out the service mix there is looked at the demographics, the age of the population, the change in utilization of services, and et cetera. I would say it would probably be more like Jewish or Mercy Fairfield or Fort Hamilton, which is one of ours, et cetera. Probably more along those lines. Now, where we may have some difference is we may have some more tertiary components there for oncology or gastroenterology, et cetera, just because some of the physicians that will be servicing that hospital are university physicians, and a lot of them are subspecialists. So we may have some of those components, but it's probably not going to be of that kind of level. I think the hospitals, the downtown hospitals in Cincinnati and some of the downtown hospitals in probably Dayton would more likely be able to get to that level of reputation just because they're large and quaternary and et cetera. This is going to be a community hospital.
Well, that brings me to the question that's really controlled by the township trustees. At some point, consideration will be given to the establishment of a JED, at least on the northern portion, the stuff that's near Hamilton Mason Road.
Mm-hmm.
I've suggested that that whole area lends itself to a joint economic development district in order to create revenues to help finance the interchange at Liberty Interchange.
Okay.
I don't know how familiar, if at all, you are with JEDs.
I'm not.
Essentially, it allows, if you create a JED, there are two ways to do it. One is voluntary, one is involuntary. So I don't expect, as much as you probably haven't had this issue raised to you, for you to give it a definite answer today. But I would, do you have any sense of the voluntary JEDs is where those folks that own the property just sign up for it, and then that enables, depending on who they're partnered with, whether it be Fairfield in this in Liberty in Westchester's case, they could partner with a contiguous municipality or one that is one township removed, mm-hmm. so they could partner with Fairfield, Hamilton, probably Monroe, Mason, to export an earnings tax that would be applied to the employees that would work there. And do you have any sense of how you all would react to that idea?
One, I have to be quite honest. I don't know how that differs from TIF. That's more what I'm used to. But we have to study it.
It's an earnings tax. It's your folks that are in Cincinnati that are
as
now
opposed
paying
to business tax, it's an earnings tax.
It's an earnings tax on the employees.
Well, we would just have to study it and look at, if
your
it's
employees gonna, won't like it.
Yeah, we'll have to look at it in terms
they're
of
coming from a place where they're paying it. A lot of them, if to the extent that there's
and,
any
and
shifts
I guess
that
it
occur.
Just depends on where our employees come from, and we're not entirely sure whether they're going to be, mostly driven from this area, which I suspect a lot of them will be, or whether some of them will come out of the city of Cincinnati or or what the mix will be. What I would say is we'll just have to study it very carefully and work with the folks in Westchester, I guess.
That's fair, but that whole area out there, really, as we look at Liberty Interchange, there's going to be substantial benefit, mm-hmm. both relieving traffic on Tylersville, and improving access, because right now you're talking Tylersville, 60,000 cars a day, one of the heaviest traveled corridors in the area.
Right.
It's getting to the point where it's similar, particularly during rush hour, is similar to Coleraine in terms of traffic load and movement. And we're probably going to even, this is a Greg Wilkins question, but we're probably looking eventually at some modifications to Tylersville itself to make that traffic flow move more easily. Mm-hmm. And not just you, but...
Right.
And again, this is not something that we have any authority to have any policy decision over, mm-hmm. but it is something that...
Well, we will study it closely.
Revenue.
I mean, just for your knowledge, as an FYI, when we looked at, we did a traffic study, and the traffic that the our facility will throw off will actually be 500 and some odd cars a day less than the original development plan for the campus. So even though traffic's bad today, we're not going to make it worse.
I think, you know, so, I did that 60,000 from memory, so you've got a traffic study. Do you have any sense of what
I couldn't even begin to tell you.
Okay.
But it's not good over time, obviously,
right.
But and we will participate with anybody in the study of it. We just need to understand what that means economically.
I understand.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I don't know.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience who'd like to speak in favor of this vacation? Anyone else like to speak in favor? Anyone like to speak in opposition to this vacation? Anyone speak in opposition?
Move to close public hearing.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner
Galvez?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
And again, well, thank you for your investment in Butler County.
Well, it'll be a great pleasure.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Commissioners, I do need a resolution to go in executive session at 10 o'clock to discuss pending litigation.
I've got a couple of items at some point. But
so move.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fox?
Last week, I think it was, I saw a letter written by Tina Oso, and I was struck by the revenue share potential of an investment in their current drive to increase their capacity to serve residents and continue serving those families in our area that are low income and in need of assistance for food. Anyway, it was about a 9-to-1 return, according to her letter, that for every dollar invested in their area, they got a $9 return, 90% match. And in that, I mean, they do so much good work around the community. And as we saw just a few months ago with Katrina, the community responded very generously to the needs in the Gulf States when there was a hurricane. And we have to continue to be mindful that there are families in our own area that continue to be in need of food, and Shared Harvest does an outstanding job. So I talked to Derek about seeing if we could use some of our ODGF funds to assist them in that, and I think the report is that Jerome has determined we could.
Yep.
And so I'd like to move that we allocate, I think he was comfortable with $10,000 at this time,
mm-hmm.
For that purpose. And and I appreciate the work that Jerome did in researching that, and you too, Derek. But I talked to Tina, and she was just very pleased with the notion that we might be considering that, and I asked through a motion that we do so now.
I'd like to say that that's obviously a very worthwhile project. However, we do have to keep in mind that there will be others asking for it as well. I mean, it's just so you know going in that that's likely to happen. So.
Yeah, and Ms. Furman, I agree, and I know anytime you get into offering direct assistance to the not-for-profits, the thing that I think enables us to distinguish this from most of the ones that will come to us is the benefit investment to benefit ratio. There are very few out there that offer that type of return on investment. And she was explaining to me how, through the federal government and so forth, they're able to achieve that 9-to-1 ratio. But according to her, the numbers are real in terms of what it brings in from the investment that we make. And I don't know, with the exception of what we're doing on our prescription relief program, which is not paid by us, it's paid by the people that use it, where they get a 90% reduction on the prescriptions that are covered. I don't know of any other program out there that has that right now that even offers that kind of return. So, I mean, I agree with you that there'll be others that'll come and knock on the door, but one of the standards that we can use in responding to them is, okay, we want to leverage our resources. And if we give you a dollar, what does that bring from other sources you may have? And in this case, it brings another $9. So the $10,000 investment we're making is really worth $100,000 to them.
So there is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolliveck?
Yes.
I had one other thing. I was thinking, since we started, how long have we been doing? You know, I didn't even notice this. How long have we been doing the webcast or whatever they call that thing?
Well, it's now going out. We started live about a month ago.
Because I've run into some people that have seen it, that have actually watched it.
Well, it works good that you're down at that end.
Well, I hope it has. I hope it has a wide-angle lens for me.
What we're going to do, we're looking at getting a camera that would probably mount, hopefully, someplace that would get the podium too.
I was just going to say, I'd like to have staff or Derek. Usually, when we say that, it means Derek, but to look at something that we looked at years ago when I first came on the commission. Shortly after that, I'd suggested then we were looking at the possibility of getting Time Warner. I think we had a number of conversations with the cable folks about actually putting it out as the city councils do, a lot of the townships do, through the cable. And they, at that time, were very willing to offer it through their public access. The digital medium is good. Do we archive these things? The digital medium is really a good medium, but for people that are used to watching things on their TV as opposed to their computer, I think it's would be a good adjunct to what we're doing on the webcast to look at, and I would revise or try to breathe life into an old proposal that I
can remember being on City Council when this was suggested, and it was rejected because we thought that some members would try to become stars and and would play to the camera instead of to the business at hand. So, but I think that it's become more and more popular, and people really take advantage of watching it and finding out. So,
yeah, I was amazed that people actually, you know, that on the web thing, that was pleasantly amazed that people were kind of interested in it and paid attention to it. So, and it's in the, I think you're right, Greg. The environment has changed so much that it's almost one of those things that so many other townships and cities do it as a matter of course, that it's just another way to engage the citizens and let them see their government in action. And that can be either two words or one word. And sometimes the truth isn't very pretty.
Yeah.
Right.
Is it?
Do they get that at our website? Is that where they?
Yes, through our website.
Let's see, who was
you know,
it?
If we put it outside, we could find out what the weather road conditions are.
Can't leave
That'll get back to me. That'll get back to me.
Oh, I heard you guys have detente.
Oh, yeah. Buddies. Buddies for life.
Buddies for life, yeah.
Jennifer, do you have anything? Okay. Do we need just recess?
Recess to go through.
Is there a motion to recess?
No, it's
okay.
Declared.
All right. We're in recess.